League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear ye, hear ye. You are listening to an old-timey podcast. I'm Kristen Caruso.
And I'm Normie C. And guess what, Kristen? I was also in the Department of Defense's Signal group chat, but I got kicked out after I asked, future topic?
And on this episode, I'll be talking about the Great Cobra Scare of 1953.
Oh, wow. A date we all remember. I have no idea what this is about. Snakes?
Yes.
Snakes? You did an episode on snakes?
I don't like it. I've got a whole lot of disclaimers. It's going to be a rough ride for all of us.
The Great Cobra Scare. I guess you could be talking about a car. Is there a car, a Cobra car?
What? I don't know anything about that.
Or Cobra from G.I. Joe?
I barely know about
evil
that.
Evil terrorist organization?
Okay.
Folks, if you enjoy what we're doing here, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Oh, what the? There's someone at the door, Kristen.
Oh,
hang
wow.
on.
I do appreciate that you had a doorbell sound effect.
That was actually our
doorbell. Oh, my mistake.
It's weird because I have a sign on the door that says small independent sexy podcast recording in progress.
Uh-huh.
And they just completely ignored it. Clearly,
oh, that's so rude of them.
I'll be right back. I'm going to go get the door.
Great. Okay.
All right.
Oh, hold music. People, this is a classy operation. Will he come back as Hubert Montgomery? I mean, will Hubert Montgomery come in here? That's what I mean. Definitely not that Norm's going to change into another outfit and pretend to be a whole nother man. You all are too sophisticated for that. As am I.
Wow, Kristen, it's world-renowned expert and friend of the show, Dr. Hubert Montgomery.
Oh my goodness. Norm, why don't you come in with Hubert Montgomery?
Hello there.
Oh, wow. What happened to Norman?
Oh, hello, Kristen. You're looking stunning today.
Oh,
your
thank
hooters
you.
Are big and pleasant, as usual.
Wow. Mr. Montgomery, that's really inappropriate of you to say to me.
Please call me Hubert. I must say, have you considered leaving your husband?
Many times.
You could have any man. Any man, Kristen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, I thought I'd drop by to discuss a very serious problem.
I don't think you had this accent the last time you were on the show.
I'm a well-traveled man. I have many accents around the world.
Okay, Ilaria Baldwin.
You see, I was listening to your last episode, Kristen, and as I do every week, a day early and ad-free over on patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast. And you had a special guest on the show. I believe his name was D.P., which stood for, if I recall, Daryl Pitts.
Yes.
Personally, I don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point during the episode, I spat my Lipton Brisk iced tea all over my Rolls Royce dashboard.
Oh, no.
Because that man slandered me.
Oh, my goodness.
DP claimed that not only was I not sexy, but that I was dead. Well, as you can clearly see, Kristen, I am alive and well, and also quite sexy.
I can see that. I'd be a fool to ignore it.
And History Hoes, if you would like to take a gander yourself, why don't you sign up at the 10... what do you call your currency here? I'm a very well-traveled man. I deal with many currencies.
Yeah, we call it the dollary do.
Oh, splendid. Mm-hmm. $10 dues will get you on the pig butter investor tier at patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast. And not only will you get early ad-free video episodes, but you'll also get monthly bonus episodes, a card, stickers, access to monthly trivia parties, and 10% off all merchandise. Oh, goodness.
How is that mustache affixed to your lip?
It is a real mustache. It is grown in my skin. Okay. Let's not forget, Kristen, on that pig butter investor tier, you also get ad-free episodes of your old podcast, which, I can't recall the name of it. I believe it was called Let Us Stroll Through the Halls of Justice.
Yeah. It was not quite that catchy, but almost.
Very, very good show.
Thank you.
Anyway, I just wanted to drop by to defend myself and from that unspeakable slander. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your time. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to be going. Some of my colleagues at the Antiques Roadshow, they've set me up on a date.
Oh.
Yes. She's a lovely woman. Her name is Wilma Fingerdo.
Oh.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Fingerdo?
Yeah, Wilma Fingerdo. She's a lovely woman. I'll text you, Kristen. Give me your digits later, okay?
Okay, I will. You know
how to reach me.
I do.
Okay, very good. Okay, cheerio, history hoes.
Good luck on your day.
Thank you.
Wow, you're still wearing headphones.
Sorry.
Folks, I feel like I should have let him walk off with the headphones still on. What a missed opportunity. Gosh, and they say we don't have good guests on this show. They are wrong, aren't they?
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Norman, welcome back.
Yeah, did I miss Dr. Hubert Montgomery?
I'm afraid PhD? You did, yeah.
Oh, shit.
But, you know, he might be nearby. I think he's getting fingered down in the park.
Whoa, what did he talk to you about?
I was picking up a vibe from him.
You know, he was in a real hurry to get out of here.
Well, and you seem to have been in a hurry to get back in here. You're buttoning your shirt up. I don't understand why you would have taken your shirt off.
It's because I had to use the bathroom, and I was fighting for my life in there. So, you know, sometimes you got to take your clothes off when you use the bathroom.
I don't think you have to fully disrobe, but, you know, okay, I'm learning a lot from you.
Yeah.
Your upper lip a little irritated, is it?
I may have gotten something on there when I was using the bathroom.
Oh, we don't need to hear any more about that.
Anyway, so what do you got about these cobras here?
Okay.
Do you need me to do a Patreon plug?
No, actually, Dr. Hubert Montgomery took perfect care of that.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
That
he's such a professional.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, and sexy. He's a real sexy guy. I can't believe he's single.
He might not be for long.
You know, he was telling me about a lady he was going out with, Wilma Fingerdo.
Uh-huh.
I hope it works out for him. He's a great guy.
Are you ready for me to get to
yeah,
my
story? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I will start this terrible tale with a no thank you to Today I Learned in our Discord for suggesting this case. I am saying no thank you as opposed to the proper thank you because I did do this story, obviously. I'm about to tell it. But people who are only familiar with an old-timey podcast may not know this, but I have an intense fear of snakes.
She does.
Very, very big fear of snakes. I covered a snake case in my old podcast, and I had to do the weirdest disclaimer for that case because I refused to look at pictures of snakes. So I only looked at articles where they did not have pictures of snakes, which really limited me quite a bit.
I bet. Now, how did you do this one?
Okay, this one, I decided I could be brave. I was wrong, but I decided that, you know what? I can read articles that have pictures of snakes. Partly was I didn't really have any other choice, but I really thought I'd grown as a person.
Yeah, but you haven't.
No, because every night that I researched this, I had nightmares about snakes. And I'm freaking out just thinking about it now. This story scares the pants off of me. It makes me very angry. Do you know anything about this?
No. This could be the scariest episode yet of an old-timey podcast.
It's really not, but to me, it is. Okay. I mean, you've covered some real, real bad stuff.
It's true. Yeah. Like slavery.
Yes. Slavery is far worse than this story I'm about to tell you here.
Okay.
But here we go. Picture it! 'Twas the summer of 1953 in Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, local case.
Uh-huh. Now, Springfield isn't exactly huge, but it isn't tiny either. It's the third most populous city in the great state of Missouri.
Springfield, Springfield, it's a hell of a town. The schoolyard's up and the shopping mall's down.
Back in 1953, it was home to about 65,000 people. Fun fact, some call Springfield the buckle of the Bible Belt. Of course, by that same logic, those folks also call Branson, Missouri, the big floppin' dong of the Bible Belt.
Whoa!
But enough about dongs, let's talk about snakes. You ready?
Yes.
It was August 15th, 1953, about dinner time, and a man named Roland Parrish was outside doing some yard work when he spotted a snake.
Okay, not too uncommon here in Missouri.
We terrifying.
Got little garden snakes.
Oh my God, okay.
We've had some big black snakes in our yard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking cobras. No, they're not.
No, they're not. They're not cobras. They're not poisonous. They're very friendly. I named one Mr. Scaly.
Yeah.
Wave to him.
I was not amused. Anyhow, he was doing some yard work.
Okay.
When he spotted a snake. A 4.5 foot long snake.
Ooh, it's a big boy.
Roland was evidently a pretty tough dude because when he saw the snake, he didn't scream, run inside, or lose his shit, which is what I do when I see a snake.
Yes.
Instead, he just looked at it. It wasn't like any snake he'd ever seen before.
Mm.
So he approached it, armed with nothing more than a hoe.
Got his hoe by his side.
That's right. And when he did, the snake didn't skedaddle. Instead, it stayed put. It raised its head.
Ooh.
And then it spread its hood.
Oh, so yeah, that's a cobra.
Roland was terrified.
Yeah, I'd haul ass. A cobra in Missouri?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Pretty weird, huh?
It should not be in Missouri, that's for sure.
You think it got lost?
Got off on the wrong bus exit, I think.
What the hell kind of snake was he looking at? Quicker than you can say, "Run, Roland!" The snake lunged at him. But Roland, boom, knocked the thing down with his garden hoe and killed it. Mm.
Wow, did he?
Yeah.
Nice.
Wild
way to go, Roland.
Stuff. Yes. Murder the snakes.
Hey, the snake attacked first. Self-defense.
Also, yeah. Oh, I should mention, I do not want to hear from any fucking snake apologists who are like...
No animal rights people in this episode?
I'm saying, like, someone's going to listen to this and be like, well, I've got the cutest snake you ever did see, and I'm going to send a picture and tell a sweet little tale. No, 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 thank you. Goodbye.
Only send me pictures of snakes if you're choking it with two hands.
I don't even want to see that. Just let me know you've choked a snake with your bare hands, and I will send you a certificate for your good deed.
Kristen's certificate of authenticity. You have killed a snake. With a thumbs up.
So he killed the snake, but he was still kind of alarmed by it because what kind of snake had he just killed? He wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, right across the street, a man named Wesley Rose heard his bulldog Sally going apeshit outside. Wesley ran outside, only to find Sally battling a snake in the front yard. Just like Roland, Wesley wasn't initially alarmed. These are big, tough dudes.
Mm-hmm.
But when Wesley realized that Sally had cornered an unusual-looking snake, he freaked out. He yelled for his wife to fetch a hoe. He grabbed Sally the bulldog and tied her up. And then Wesley approached the snake with the hoe in hand. The snake rose up. It spread its hood. But before the snake could lunge, Wesley, boom, smacked it in the back. He was pretty sure he'd paralyzed it. So
Once the snake was immobile, Wesley killed it with the hoe.
Man, these hoes are really effective against the snakes.
Yeah.
The secret weapon.
These hoes work hard.
Uh-huh.
The experience was unsettling, though, as was the snake itself. Wesley had never seen a snake like that before. So he called the police. They came out to his house and brought the dead snake back to the police station where they examined it. And boy, were they stumped. See?
They were stumped?
Yeah.
They said, you know, I think this might be a snake.
They were very stupid people.
By God.
This is the biggest earthworm I've ever seen in my life. See, Norm, as you already pointed out, Springfield, Missouri is home to plenty of snakes, which is why it's such a terrible place. But none of the officers had ever seen a snake like this before. So they called a science teacher from the local junior high school. They called in the director of the Dickerson Park Zoo. They called in a science professor from local Drury University. And holy shit, the experts weighed in and they were like, this is a cobra. And guess what? Cobras are not native to Missouri.
Yes.
How did these fuckers get here? How do we get them out? Do we abandon Springfield, Missouri and move to Springfield, Illinois? Yeah, we probably should.
That's a little overreaction.
That would
Kristen.
Be my idea. I'd
That'd
be like,
be
goodbye.
What you want to do. Yeah, that's a little bit crazy.
Okay, this is the part in the story where I have to tell you shit that I do not care about at all. Because the snake nerds now want you to know.
Snake nerds?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling them. They want you to know that these snakes were initially misidentified as spectacled cobras. But upon, you know, further examination from our snake data, they want you to know that these are actually monocled cobras.
Ah, yes.
What is the difference between a monocled cobra and a spectacled cobra? Who cares?
Well, so the spectacled cobras wear glasses and the monocled cobras wear a monocle.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm guessing it means like, you know, spectacles have a ring around each eye.
Yeah.
Monocle has a ring around one eye. Truthfully, I cannot tell you because the way to get that information would be to Google these fuckers and I would know for sure I'm seeing a picture of them then.
The monocled one has a top hat.
It's more classy. It's for your formal backyards.
Monocled cobra. Oh, yeah. Oh.
An above-ground swimming pool. That's not good enough for me, a monocled cobra.
Oh, I see. It's like the patterns on their skin, I think.
Okay, cool. Good for them.
It actually has nothing to do with wearing glasses or a top hat.
Mm, that's a shame. The important thing is that cobras are deadly. Their venom can kill an adult human. And again, can't stress this enough, they are not native to Springfield, Missouri. So how the fuck did they get there? I'm sorry, I realize I'm cursing a lot. I'm a little high strung. But yeah, two of them had ended up in Springfield, Missouri in August of 1953. But that's not to say that this was some big mystery, really. Because just a block away from Wesley's house and Roland's house sat Mower Animal Company.
Oh.
Mower Animal Company was owned by a guy named Rio Mower. He'd been in business for about 2 years, and he sold a wide variety of animals. Water moccasins, an orangutan, a crocodile, and get a load of this, cobras.
Okay, I think Missouri is one of those states where you can just, like, own any animal you want.
That's insane. That should not be happening at all.
Actually, that show about the chimp lady, she was in Missouri, wasn't she?
Okay, well, I just remember we tried to watch it, and we got too creeped out. We could not watch it.
Yeah, it made me very uncomfortable watching an orangutan with a diaper.
Uh-huh.
It felt too, I don't know, it just made me feel weird. I couldn't watch that show.
Yes.
Now, cobra in a diaper would be kind of cute.
Probably not very effective either.
No, he'd slither right out of it.
So the police were like, okay, we can solve any crime by dinner time. And look at this, we done it. So they went over to Rio Mora's shop and they were like, Rio, time to fess up, buddy. Did you lose some cobras? Mm-hmm. Did you? Tell us how many you lost. We promise we'll only be a little mad. But Rio was super innocent. He was like, what? Cobras in Springfield? Not on my watch. I mean, sure, yes, I do sell cobras, absolutely. But, and yeah, okay, those two cobras were found really close to my store. But that's just the weirdest coincidence I've ever heard in my whole fucking life. All my cobras are 100% accounted for. No missing cobras here. Toodaloo, my dudes.
Do the cobras have ID badges?
Norm, I would like to read to you a quote from a 1953 newspaper. This is what Rio told a reporter, and I am not making this up. I swear to God he said this.
Okay.
Quote, we haven't had a cobra loose in months. We have them on hand all the time, but we haven't had any get away.
In months. So they've gotten out before?
Norm, they haven't had them loose in months. Calm down.
They fixed the glitch. It's got to be him, right?
I mean, I think it seems pretty clear.
Yeah.
8 days passed. And then a man named Ralph Moore was out in his yard spotted a cobra. He grabbed his garden hoe and killed the shit out of it.
These damn hoes are killing these snakes.
Don't say damn hoes, these wonderful hoes. This is no time to hoe shame. Hoes are the heroes of this story.
Literally.
By the way, not so fun fact, Ralph lived 2 blocks away from the Moor Animal Company.
Okay.
Just a coincidence.
How is this story even going on? Is the open and shut case?
How is this story even going on? Norm.
All right,
Norm,
Rio,
I just told
come on
you,
out.
No, he hasn't had a cobra loose in months, and he's real proud of that.
I mean, where else are these cobras coming from? You have an exotic animal company a few blocks away. There's fucking cobras in everyone's yard. But they're not from that. They're not coming from there.
You yourself said that they got off on the wrong bus stop. So
that was a joke. They would never let a snake on a bus.
Hmm. Later that evening, a man named Willis Murdaugh was driving home when he spotted a snake in the road.
And he said, there's been a Murdaugh.
Sorry, that was stupid. I hate that I laughed at it. He drove by it fairly slowly, but then was like, wait, what the hell kind of snake was that? I've never seen one of those before.
See, this is a horror movie. People that are curious, what kind of snake is that? And then it lunges at you and bites you.
I have never in my life been curious about a snake. I have been terrified and I've run.
You've seen them and you've run away.
Yes.
Have you told the story of when we were camping in Minnesota and that snake popped out?
I don't think I did. Yeah, so everyone, this one time we were camping in Minnesota. We were with my sister Kyla, brother-in-law Jay, and what do you call that? Portaging?
You take a canoe along all the lakes and you walk it across little bodies of land and then you get back in another lake.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's called portaging.
So Kyla and I got out onto the land to kind of scout around, see what was going on. The boys stayed in the canoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got out, and I will admit that the snake that I saw was a small one.
He was tiny.
Nonetheless, I was terrified. And I was supposed to walk right past this fucker to get back into the canoe. And everyone was kind of like, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
And I totally seriously, I said, it's looking right at me. And Jay, who is very nice all the time, just laughed at me.
Mm-hmm.
As if to say, that is ridiculous. Of course it wasn't. And that snake turned out to be a python.
No, it was the tiniest little
python. Tiny baby
garter snake in the world. It was actually kind of cute.
Deadly.
It was looking at you, but it was a very friendly snake.
Anyhow, I'm terrified. Once, a couple months ago, we spotted a snake in our backyard. I, of course, memorized the location. Every time I'm in the backyard, I look in that location for said snake.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I was picking up sticks. And you can bet your ass that before I touched any stick, I looked at the end of it and looked at the other end of it to see if there was a head.
And then you were asking me if people can buy landmines online. And I was like, Kristen, why would you want a landmine?
No reason.
Hmm. You're just into them.
Yeah.
I feel like you want a landmine for the snake.
Oh, I would love to blast their asses.
Yeah, snake slithers over the landmine and just boom.
And I'm like, oh no, what happened?
Oh my goodness.
We also lose like half of our kitchen and then snakes get in. Yeah, it blows a hole into the side of our house. Our home. Yeah, it might turn out to be a really bad idea.
I know your biggest fear though, a snake in the basement.
That is not my biggest fear.
What's your biggest fear?
Norm, as my husband, you should know, my biggest fear, and I check for this every time.
Oh, snakes in the boot.
No, snake in the toilet bites my vagina.
Oh,
that's my biggest fear. Mm. Anytime I've been on the toilet for, you know, a little while, I always check to see if a snake is looking at me. And I know it's ridiculous, but also it's not so ridiculous that I've ever stopped doing it ever.
It is ridiculous. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And the day I accept that is the day that, ow, a snake bites my vagina.
You know, why am I even, you know, you want to check the toilet for snakes?
Yeah.
Do it all you want.
No skin off your back, mm-hmm. buddy. Okay. So Willis Murdaugh, who we sure hope murders a snake.
Murdaughs. He's going to murder that snake.
Spots a snake in the road.
Yeah.
Stops because he's like, what kind of snake is that? He reversed his car. And when he reversed his car, the snake rose up, looked right at him, and before that fucker could lunge at him, Willis grabbed a jack handle, smacked the mess out of that cobra, and then he ran over it with his car, and he ran over it again, and he ran over it again, and he ran over it again, and again, because you could never be too careful around snakes! Norm, I don't think I have to tell you, but by this point, the people of Springfield were on high alert.
What did that snake look like after his savage beating and getting run over 50 times? Was it like a cartoon? Was he just like flat on the road?
I'm sure.
Oh my God.
But you've
God.
Got to make sure he's really, truly dead.
I bet you loved this part of the story. Yeah, get him!
Get
him! I was rooting for him.
I'm sorry to people who love snakes. Ugh, not really, but I felt like that was a polite thing to say. Okay, people were terrified because God knows how many deadly snakes were on the loose and God knows how much crazy snake sex they had with each other, and pretty soon the whole town of Springfield would be made entirely out of snakes.
How do snakes have sex?
I have heard that they like coil up in a disgusting mess, you know.
Can you feel love tonight?
People knew exactly where to direct their fury.
Yes. The Moore Animal Company? Was that
M-O-W-R-E-R. Moorer? I don't know.
Moorer.
Yeah.
It's a weird word. Okay.
So far, all the cobras had been spotted in close proximity to Moore Animal Company. The writing was on the wall, as were the snakes. Ha ha. Yeah. Anyway. But, you know, Rio was just sitting back, sticking to his story. A week went by. People were really starting to freak out. It was summertime, and child molesters hadn't been invented yet. So Whoa. For the first time ever, parents were like, wait a minute, you're telling me I can't just let my kid play outside unattended? I need to stand nearby with a hoe just in case a cobra shows up? People got paranoid.
Child molesters had not been invented yet,
no,
huh?
You know, in retrospect, we shouldn't have invented
them.
Yeah,
who the hell invented them?
A big mistake, kind of a Frankenstein situation.
Not a fan.
The local police department was flooded with calls from people who had found a snake and weren't sure if it was a cobra, but they needed the police to show up with a tank and an AK-47 just in case.
Yep.
And then a 6-year-old named Lizbeth Gail Parrish went up to her mom and was like, Mom, a snake just went into our garage.
Oh, shit.
And so Mrs. Howard McCoy, that's how the newspapers referred to her at the time. I looked around online. I think her name was Jane, but I can't confirm it for sure.
Okay.
She hauled ass into that garage, grabbed a hoe, spotted the snake, which, spoiler alert, was a cobra, shocker, and boom, murdered it with a hoe.
Man, I'm just more and more impressed by the hoes. Just I'm trying to think of another garden tool that might be more effective. Maybe like a machete?
Name one. You can't. No, because you don't want a hoe. Like, you can be far away and use a hoe.
I mean, a hoe is longer than a machete, yeah. And a rake, yeah, a rake.
Oh, that'll just piss it off.
It's too flexible. It would just, yeah, it'd just
Norm,
be
that's
like
the worst idea you've ever had. How about I poke a cobra? How about that?
The cobra, ow!
That's basically like, how about I insult this cobra's mother? Yeah.
Mm-mm. It might hurt its feelings and it'll go away.
I don't think so. A while later, you'll never guess. Never in a million years guess what people spotted hanging out in the grass near the Moorer Animal Company.
A cobra?
Yeah.
Was it loitering?
What?
It was loitering.
Yes.
Which is illegal.
So they called the police, and by the time the police arrived, good old Rio Moore had captured the cobra and was like, hey, nothing to see here, just me saving the day. You know, some heroes don't wear capes. They just pick up deadly cobras that definitely didn't come from their shitty little store.
What is this guy doing with cobras?
What
He's suspect number one and only.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. What the hell is he doing with these cobras?
Well, possibly losing them, supposedly selling them. Why you would sell these things, I have no idea. I don't like
it's
this
It's for
man.
The snake nerds, Kristen.
Oh, God. Okay.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Later, on that very same day, shit went down at the Stockton residence. The Stockton family, you'll never believe it, lived across the street from the Moorer Animal Company. So the mom was out in the yard, dad and kids were inside the house. And all of a sudden, the dad and kids hear the mom freaking out. So the kids ran outside, and little Glenn Stockton, who was 6 years old at the time, later said that he and his sister came running toward the garden, and they saw something coming through the grass toward them. Oh, my God, I've got goosebumps. So he put his sister behind him, told her not to move, and then a cobra reared up in front of them, spread its hood, and began to weave back and forth.
Go get the hoe.
He said it had, oh my God, I'm freaking out. He said it had, quote, black beady eyes looking at me with its tongue flicking in and out.
Mm, so sexy.
No, opposite. All of a sudden, Glenn's dad, L.H. Stockton, came running out the back door of the house, hoeless. So he grabbed a rock and he, boom, threw it down on the cobra. But the cobra was a huge asshole about it. And he was like, that didn't hurt at all. I'm 4 feet long, but you didn't even hit me. What kind of name is LH anyways?
What?
And then
this snake is sassy.
That cobra slithered into an opening in the foundation of the Stockton home.
Oh, shit. That's bad.
LH Stockton was freaking out. And also his feelings had been hurt because that snake was such a dick. So LH called the police, and the police showed up, and Police Chief Frank Pike was like, stand back, everyone. And he put his hand through the hole in the foundation, and he pulled back a snake skin.
Oh, it's in there.
Why would you? Oh, my God. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to need backup. So a bunch of officers showed up, And in the meantime, Frank revealed his very own handmade snake catcher.
Oh, he made one.
It was just a 10-foot pole with like a noose at the end of it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's like an animal catcher thing, too. But
sure. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
So Frank got to work trying to, you know, strangle a cobra with his handmade snake catcher.
It's better with his bare hands.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't you know it, Norm? The snake didn't want to be strangled that day.
Yeah.
I'm just now realizing that it's probably not supposed to strangle the animal.
You know, I catch them, but they're always dead. I don't get it.
This snake was perfectly happy to take up residence in the Stockton's crawl space or whatever with the aim of gaining squatter's rights. So
clearly,
everyone's freaking out. Everyone. Because that cobra just would not leave.
You know what you need?
What?
A grenade.
Are you serious?
Toss a grenade in that hole.
Is that a serious idea? Or
yeah.
Okay, stay tuned. So the police talked to L.H. Stockton. I can't believe you said that. And they were like, okay, do we have your permission to do something a little crazy in order to get this cobra out of your house? And L.H. told the officers, quote, burn the house down if you have to. Which, yes, LH, finally someone who is on my level.
He gets it.
He was like, my family is not going back in that house until the cobra is gone, baby. And the police were like, say no more. And an officer threw a tear gas grenade into the crawl space.
Yes, that snake will be coughing coming out of that hole.
As gas filled the space, officers positioned themselves around the home, waiting for the cobra to emerge. And oh my God, sure enough, it did.
Yeah.
It slithered out, and Officer Jack Strope was right there, shotgun cocked, ready to rumble! And as soon as he saw that hooded-headed fucker, he pulled the trigger! Boom! Oh
my God.
And it jammed.
Oh no!
The cobra was pissed. It had been through so much in life. It had dodged a rock. It had been poked with a 10-foot pole. It had been tear gassed. It had been shot at, unsuccessfully, but still. This cobra was seething. Officer Jack was like, oh no, this shotgun sucks. So he grabbed his pistol out of his holster. He aimed. He fired. He shot the cobra. He fired again. He shot the cobra. He fired again. He shot the cobra.
Yes.
He fired again. He shot the cobra. He fired again. He shot the cobra. He shot the cobra 5 times with slugs. And it was still moving and grooving.
Damn.
Back to the very foundation from whence it came.
It got back in that hole?
It was moving and grooving toward it, okay? Try to keep up.
Okay.
As it did so, the cobra raised its hooded head as if to say, nice try, assholes. And as soon as it did, Police Chief Frank Pike was like, snake noose! And he used his handmade snake catcher to wrangle the snake by the neck. They had it. It wasn't going anywhere. Would you like to guess how they finally killed it?
Strangled it. With their bare hands.
No, they used a hoe.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Man, shout out to the hoes.
No kidding. By this point, City Health Director Del Kaywood was like, that is enough. This is ridiculous. We need to do something. Rio Moore, we know you say you're innocent, but no one, literally no one, is dumb enough to believe you. So you need to take all your snakes outside of the city limits. You can keep some fish here, some small birds. Okay, but anything dangerous or deadly needs to be the F out of city limits. Get going. Rio was not happy about that. And he whined and he whined about how unfair it was. Because he definitely, you know, those weren't his cobras that were all over his store and the nearby land.
Then whose were they, Rio?
How should he know? He was perfectly innocent. But, you know, he had no choice. He did what he was told. Meanwhile, firefighters and police officers burned off the grass in all the lots that surrounded the store. They didn't want to leave patches of grass for the cobras to hide in.
Hell yeah.
But those snakes were sneaky because a while later, a guy named H.K. Patton was driving down East Chestwood Expressway when he saw a snake. And of course, by that point, the people of Springfield were not taking any chances. All snakes were cobras until proven otherwise in a court of law. So he ran his car over the thing, no. And when he backed up to make sure he'd killed it, the snake, which was, of course, a cobra, rose up, spread its hood, and bam, lunged at his vehicle. Holy crap! Then the cobra boot scoot and boogied all the way to under a truck at the Twilight Inn. So soon, all the people at the Twilight Inn came running out. They didn't need an explanation. Another cobra was on the loose, and it was mad. So they ran over, tried to trap it. Police showed up, and this time, they crushed the cobra's head with a rock.
Oh, wait, that cobra got run over, but it ran to the Twilight Inn?
I think it slithered.
Damn.
Some of these stories, like,
badass.
Do I really believe that that one snake was shot 5 times and didn't walk with a limp? You know, come on.
I believe it.
All right. So they crushed this cobra's head with a rock. Everyone stood around, amazed. It had huge fangs. And then, when it was good and dead, they pressed on the venom sac and liquid spurted out. And everyone was like, ew!
Why are they doing that?
Because they're
fun?
Hicks. You know, welcome to Missouri, Norm. We're all hillbillies here, deep down, even those of us who try to deny it.
So deep down, you love snakes.
No, but if there's a sack full of something and someone's pressing down on it, I am going to watch.
You're going to watch? That's why you like Dr. Pimple Popper?
Yeah, I don't need the stories. Just give me the goods.
Give me the popping, baby.
I don't want to hear about, oh, it's been so hard for me with this thing. No, just start popping.
Yeah. When are we popping this thing?
I don't need to hear your backstory.
Boo fucking who. Let's pop this fucker.
Norm, it was pandemonium. The health director was like, it's only a matter of time before someone gets bit by one of these cobras, and we're not equipped to deal with that kind of bite because we've never had to be. So they reached out to Florida and got a shipment of anti-venom so that the city of Springfield would be ready when someone inevitably got bitten by a cobra.
They need to form the Springfield Snake Patrol and wear little patches with a guy holding up a hoe.
Norm, tell me more. How do you solve this problem?
I just told you, the Springfield Snake Patrol.
And they just roam the entire city looking for cobras?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. So as soon as they got this shipment of antivenom, the local newspaper, the Springfield Leader and Press, ran a story announcing that the antivenom would be free for anyone who needed it 24/7.
Great. Sounds like socialism, though.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think people should die. If you get sick, that seems like it's your fault. Then, on October 1st, a guy named Dan Funkhauser was at his plumbing and heating shop.
Sorry.
When his
the last name Funkhauser is very
It's a wonderful name.
It is great.
When his hunting dogs, who were out back, started going nuts, he looked out the window and saw his dogs had cornered a huge snake. So he was like, what the funk? And his employee, a guy named Hardy Teague, grabbed a hoe and heartily murdered that cobra.
Yes! The hoe strikes again.
Then they put the carcass in an old lard can and brought it down to police headquarters. Look what we did. Aren't we great?
Bucket of Crisco?
Probably, right? Lieutenant Leonard Thomas was like, good work, boys. And he opened up the lard can and took a look. And holy shit, it was still alive! Oh my God, the cobra was moving around. It opened its mouth. And then Police Chief Frank Pike was like, I'll get my snake pole. And he nabbed it. He choked the mess out of that snake. And Lieutenant Leonard Thomas killed it for real this time with an ice pick. Boom!
He would have had trouble choking it because it was so greasy from being in the lard can.
That's true. It would be a mess. It would be the most deadly snake. Can't catch me. Ooh, Crisco. At this point, the city reached a bad ideas do not exist state of mind. And it was in that spirit, God bless them, that they came up with a cartoonish, deeply problematic idea for how to get all the cobras out of their fair city. Okay. I just told you it's a cartoonish idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's problematic. Mm-hmm. What'd they come up with, Norm? What do you got?
Well, if it's problematic.
Mm-hmm. It's not great.
Problematic. Springfield snake. So they're going to start a snake patrol.
Maybe.
And are they just going to, like, burn all the grass in Springfield?
That's problematic to you.
I mean, what if someone's working hard on their lawn and...
I think you and I have different definitions of the word problematic.
I'm just thinking, what could be problematic? Are they just going to kill every snake they see?
That's a great idea. I endorse that idea.
Okay, so you don't think that's problematic at all, actually.
I'm going
to... Okay, just tell me. What is it?
They decided to use the foolproof strategy of playing, quote, Indian snake charming music.
What?
As it so happened, local car dealer John Dukewitz had a relative who'd done some ministry in India. And oh, look, that relative had come back with a record that contained, you know, snake charming music, maybe.
Wait. Mm-hmm. Don't you have to, like, train the snake to dance to the music? You can't just play it for some any random snake and the snake's gonna be like, ooh, I'm dancing. I have no idea why.
Yeah. Norm, you've pointed out this idea is deeply stupid, but we're going to keep going with it because it's our only idea and no one's saying no. So City Health Director Del Kaywood got a truck with some big speakers mounted on top of it.
Oh, my God.
And for 45 minutes, he rode around the city of Springfield with police officers walking alongside the vehicle, guns drawn, ready to kill all the cobras that were definitely going to come out to the music.
The snakes are going to come dancing out to the music and they'll shoot them as they come out?
Norm,
this is literally something that happened in The Simpsons.
Shut up.
Which takes place in Springfield. Did they get inspired by this?
I think they did a rip from the headline story. Norm, it wasn't just police officers out there. A bunch of local dudes trailed along too, armed with dozens of hoes and shovels, while the Indian snake-charming music played loudly throughout the town.
Did they get any snakes?
Worth noting! A lot of people thought that this idea was really stupid. This wasn't one of those stories where it's like, it's 1953, we're all in agreement that this is a great idea. No, people thought it was dumb for several reasons, but most notably because snakes can't hear, or at least they can kind of hear, but they mostly just feel vibrations.
Right, okay, so in the Simpsons episode, that's what they do. They play deep bass music and they put it into the ground and it shakes, and so all the snakes came toward it.
Okay, well, you know, people made fun of this idea. They said it was, you know, the Cobra Blues that they were playing out there, and, you know, oh, it's like an ice cream truck, but they're trying to catch cobras. How dumb, ha-ha. But guess who had the last laugh?
Did they get one?
Well, when that truck rounded the Reynolds Manufacturing Company at 600 North Prospect Avenue, holy shit, guess what they found? It was a cobra. It slithered out from under a loading dock, and a worker dropped a brake drum on it and boom, killed it.
We've done it.
Now, was that cobra lured out from under the loading dock because of those sweet tunes?
No.
Definitely. Absolutely. Shut up. It definitely wasn't just a weird coincidence.
Oh my God, I love this song.
This story got so wild that it grew into something much bigger than a local news story. Life magazine covered it. Newsweek covered it. Fun fact, when the photographer for Life came out, the police officers did a kind of like staged snake hunt.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were looking for snakes, but it was mostly for the photos. And, you know, all they found was a lousy turtle. Ugh.
Damn turtle. We don't care about you turtles.
Local bars offered up cobra cocktails.
Oh, this is fun.
A local car dealer made a sign that read, "No cobras, but bargains in clean used cars." It's not very catchy, but all right. A tavern owner on Walnut Street painted a snake on the window, and they painted the words, "Headquarters for Cobra Snake Bite Remedies."
Oh,
it was funny
till
someone died there.
Did someone die there?
Yeah, they thought they were getting anti-venom. And they just died because they were given a vodka shot. I'm just kidding. No one did.
Kristen.
Sorry. Shoe stores reported an uptick in the sale of sturdy shoes. Children's shoes sold like never before. Previously, people let their kids go around barefoot, but not anymore.
So these cobras are stimulating the economy.
Yes.
We should be thankful, actually, for the cobras.
Yeah. These are job creators, okay?
Right.
word got out that cobras enjoy sweet milk, apparently. And so people set milk out in the summer heat.
Oh, gross.
Hoping to lure some cobras. And, you know, it not only didn't work, it was absolutely disgusting.
Smell. Oh, God.
For a while, the city of Springfield changed its seal. It normally had a serpent on it, but they changed it to a cobra.
Yeah, you got to.
And then on October 25th, someone found what proved to be the 11th and final cobra of the Great Cobra Scare. They discovered it. You're not going to believe this.
By the fucking animal company?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they took the snake to the Dickerson Park Zoo. And by that point, the story was so big that 5,000 people came out to see that cobra. It died after just 2 months. And boy, am I sad to tell you that.
Kristen, have a heart.
I can't. If you're wondering how people felt about Rio Moore at this point, the answer was still mad. Even though he had moved all his creepy crawlers outside the city limits, someone discovered that he'd, oops, lost some rattlesnakes. Whoops.
This dude's just introducing all sorts of damn animals into Springfield.
Technically, rattlesnakes, you find them in Missouri, I guess. I don't know. But he's certainly not caging these animals up very well.
No, well, and like rattlesnakes aren't living in the city. They're out in the woods or something. They're not renting a duplex.
They're small town girls.
That's right.
Now, if you're wondering how Rio Moore felt, the answer was still a victim. Rio wrote a letter to city officials stating, quote, I can truthfully, honestly, and with a free conscience tell you that these snakes have not originated from my place of business. I am as much or more perturbed by their presence out of captivity as anyone who resides in Springfield. He was like totally innocent, Norm.
Why does this guy just fess up? I mean, who else is bringing the cobras?
Maybe he
in?
Didn't do it, Norm. Maybe he's totally innocent.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Nut job pet owners from around the country supported Rio by sending telegrams to city officials protesting his persecution.
Like the Tiger King.
This guy is the
Joe Exotic?
Yes. I swear to you, he is the OG Tiger King.
Wow.
They were like, your town is home to rattlesnakes and copperheads. Rattlesnakes and copperheads are way more aggressive than cobras, so just calm down about the cobras. They're the sweetest deadly snakes you ever did see. In fact, they love to be stroked. Signed, a cobra, probably. I don't know. I can't believe anyone defended this man. So by this point, local district attorney Douglas Green had a decision to make. And he evidently decided that he might not have enough to make a rock-solid case against Rio. But he could sure as shit put some pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yada, 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 Rio Moore packed up his shit and moved his ass to Florida.
Seems like a place to live for an exotic animal guy.
I agree.
Yeah.
Rio was gone. But that didn't necessarily mean that the cobras were gone. Between August 15th and October 25th, they'd found 11 cobras in Springfield. As winter set in, people feared that the cobras might have gotten down to the local quarry. If they did, they could probably survive the winter, have all kinds of sex, breed like bunnies, and then terrorize the town for years to come.
Mm.
Sexy times.
In January of 1954, the city passed an ordinance barring the sale or display of deadly snakes and reptiles. So that ought to do it.
That'll keep them out.
Oh, hey, fellas, it's illegal here. But winter came and went, and the cobras didn't come back.
Phew.
Nobody found any cobra eggs either, which either meant that the cobras didn't find one another sexually attractive, or hopefully the snakes were all dudes or all ladies. Either one was fine, but definitely not a mix. God help us all.
Gay snakes?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We welcome the gay snakes. I mean, if we have to have them. As time passed and no more cobras turned up, people started to relax. They started to laugh about the situation.
I have a feeling the snakes are coming back.
People sold commemorative cobra plates. Little souvenirs.
Are the snakes coming back?
Years passed. Decades passed. Even though everyone was sure that Rio Moore was responsible for the Great Cobra Scare of 1953, they'd never gotten what they really wanted. A confession.
Well, they killed all the witnesses.
What?
The snakes. They're all dead. They killed them with hose.
So, In 1973, 20 years after the Great Cobra Scare, reporter Mike O'Brien of the Springfield Leader and Press discovered that Rio Moore had moved back to his hometown in Unionville, Missouri. Unionville is a small town, so if Springfield is the buckle of the Bible Belt, Unionville is the eyebrow. So
Mike, the eyebrow?
Yeah. You understand where an eyebrow is in relation to a belt. It's further north, okay?
Okay.
Branson is the dong of the Bible Belt. Springfield's the buckle. Unionville's the eyebrow. I can't make it more clear than this.
So the eyebrow is north of Springfield.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So Mike showed up at Rio's house, and he was like, hey, it's been 20 years. Come on. Tell me the truth. Did the cobras come from your store? Did they come from your store?
You can tell me.
Come on.
Come on, man.
I won't tell anyone, except for anyone who reads the local newspaper. Rio paused. He got kind of quiet. And finally, he said the following, quote, there is a man still alive who might have been responsible, but I couldn't mention his name. I think he's working for a fire department now, somewhere down in Florida. And that was it. He wouldn't say any more.
What?
By the way, if you're wondering what Rio had been up to in the previous 20 years, you are in for a treat. Okay, so he took his badly contained zoo to Florida, and he said things were going great until effin' Bush Gardens opened up. He said, quote, Augie Bush started up his park there, and it's pretty hard to compete against money like that and free beer. Which I doubt they were giving out free beer at Busch Gardens.
Everyone would be there. Wait a minute. Was he trying to compete with Busch Gardens? Wasn't he selling the animals?
Who the F knows what this man was up to? I'm telling you, this guy is the original Joe Exotic. You think Joe Exotic could like be like, yeah, this is my business plan. Here's what I do. Here's what I don't do. Here are all my safety protocols. No, it's just whatever to make a buck. That man is ridiculous.
That district attorney of Springfield, that fucking bitch.
Yeah, Carol Baskins. So, yeah, according to him, whatever operation he had in Florida was going great until that asshole Augie Bush showed up. So then, what's he do? Does he get out of the game? No, he does not. Instead, he starts importing bigger animals. Animals like baby elephants.
That's right, bigger is better.
He kept them in his backyard. He said that when the elephants got hungry, he had to get up and feed them real fast or they'd, quote, tear down my back door.
Well, yeah.
Ridiculous. After that, he became the assistant director of a zoo in Monroe, Louisiana. And then he had heart trouble and his doctors were like, dude, hey, maybe for the sake of your health, stop importing deadly animals. And yeah. So
quit raising baby elephants in your backyard. God.
So then he opened an antique store.
Oh.
In 1977, a few years after he gave that interview, Rio died. So it was official. The mystery of the Great Cobra Scare would never be solved.
No, I don't believe you.
But people still talked about it.
Uh-huh, there it is.
And journalists still wrote about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in May of 1988, Springfield Magazine published a write-up about the Great Cobra Scare of 1953. And someone read that article and they went to their friend and said, hey, man, I think it's time to come clean. People deserve to know what happened. And so Carl Bennett, who by that point had kept his involvement in the Great Cobra Scare a secret for 35 years, came forward. But first, he consulted with an attorney. And after hearing Carl's story, the attorney said, yeah, I think you're good.
What's it called when enough time has passed, you can't be charged with the crime anymore?
I think you're thinking of the statute of limitations.
Right.
There's some other stuff that I think would come into play here, but I can't tell you that until after I've told you what happened. So basically the attorney said, I think after all this time, it's unlikely that they're going to press charges. So Carl reached out to reporter Mike O'Brien, that same reporter who'd traveled to Unionville to interview Rio Moore. And he said, I'm the one that done it. And from there, the story unraveled.
Oh, shit. All right, what happened?
Carl was 60 years old when he came forward, but he'd been 14 years old in the summer of 1953.
He was a little punk. a little prankster.
He'd been a student at Jarrett Junior High School, and money was tight at home. So he did what a lot of kids did. He found ways to make some money.
You know, for a while, he gathered up empty bottles on the side of the road. And he used that money to get him enough money to go to a movie and buy a candy bar. Simple stuff. But after a while, oh, he wanted more. You see, Carl was a curious boy. He had a friend who was really into tropical fish. And they often went together to the Five and Dime to look at the fish. And Carl wanted a tropical fish so bad. But after a while, Carl, you know, got a little bored with the Five and Dime. They didn't have a big variety of fish.
Did he go to the Maurer Animal Company?
He sure did. And he was so impressed. That place had variety. It was nuts what was in there. It had fish he'd never even seen before. He was kind of enthralled by the place. And after enough conversations with the owner, Rio Moore, Carl found out that the store had so much more than what was displayed in the main room. The store had a back room. It had a garage.
Did the back room have the red silk curtain, like in the rental stores? You want to look at the real good animals, kid?
Come on back.
Ooh, yeah.
He found out that Rio kept a 20-foot python in a bathtub. Cool! Ooh. Worth noting, Carl was not afraid of snakes. Quite the opposite, in fact. Until he was about 5 years old, he'd lived out in the country. He was comfortable with snakes. Too comfortable, if you ask me. And even when his family moved into town, they weren't in town. They were on the edge of town, near fields and swamps, where snakes slithered around constantly. So pretty soon, Carl and Rio worked out a business deal. Carl would go out and catch snakes, and he'd bring them to Rio for store credit. For Carl, that was everything. He wanted an exotic fish so bad.
So he was just going out catching snakes and saving up for a fish?
Saving up store credit to buy a fish. He even gathered a bunch of buddies and they went on these snake finding missions. They pedaled their bicycles all over the place looking for snakes. This is terrifying, disgusting. I hate it.
What a wild thing.
Oh my gosh. At one point, they found dozens of ring-necked snakes. I don't even know what that means. I can barely say it. They were so cool, apparently. Some of the kids at school wanted to buy them. They sold the snakes for a quarter apiece, and Carl felt like he was the richest dude on earth. One glorious day, Norman, he made $5 that day. Adjusted for inflation, that was $60. That was really saying something because at the time, his dad was driving a truck making 10 or 15 bucks a day. And here he was, a kid.
He's out hustling, Dad.
Not out hustling, but I mean, that's pretty impressive.
See him strolling through the living room, counting his quarters.
Uh-huh.
Dad's like, where the hell did you get that money?
Don't talk back to me, Dad. I'm richer than you are.
Yeah, go clean yourself up. Flips him a quarter.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Carl was a little business dude, wheeling and dealing the snakes at school and amassing enough snakes to make a solid exchange with Rio Moore. How could life be better?
So did he get a cobra from Rio?
Norm, well, I just told you he wants a fish. I've been so clear, a fish.
I feel like he's kind of getting into snakes a lot here.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be like, what's the coolest freaking snake you have? And Rio's like, check this out. Opens a drawer and a cobra pops out.
Okay.
And he gets the cobra.
How does that explain how they got all over the place?
I guess it doesn't.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't. Finally, in August of 1953, Carl did it. He'd earned enough snake credit at the store to get that rare tropical fish he'd had his eye on. Oh, my God, he did it. He made the exchange. He was so proud. He took that fish home. Finally, his hard work had paid off. Oh, he was thrilled. He had it all worked out in his head. He was going to breed that fish with the other fish. And oh, boy, he'd be a business cat then, selling off tropical fish right and left.
Man, you remember that feeling as a kid of saving up your money and you finally get that thing you wanted?
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
But Norm, that night, the first night he had that fish, it died.
What?
Unbelievable. Carl was shocked and frankly kind of pissed off.
Did he slap it on the counter at the animal company? He's like, I want a refund, buddy.
Yeah, so he went right back to Moore Animal Company, dead fish in tow, ready to give them a piece of his mind. Unfortunately, Rio wasn't at the store that day.
Did he release the cobras as revenge?
Instead, Carl encountered one of Rio's employees. And even more unfortunately, that dude was rude to him.
He did it as revenge!
Carl explained the situation, that he traded in all these snakes for this one fish and it had died immediately, and the guy behind the counter was like, "That's tough, kid. Get lost." And that made Carl mad.
Holy shit. What a sneaky little devil.
What choice did he have? He left the store fishless, but he couldn't let it go. He wanted to get even.
Mm-hmm.
And so Carl went around to the back of the store. See, Rio had a habit of keeping some of the new inventory out back. And Carl had gone back out there in the past just to see what was there. And this time he saw a wooden crate full of snakes. He'd been back there enough to know that the snakes always came in crates that looked just like the one he was staring at. For the record, Carl wants everyone to know that he did not know that the crate was full of cobras. He said that when he'd been at the store a few days earlier, he'd seen Rio with some indigo snakes. Carl says he figured that the crate was full of more indigo snakes. And ideally, he would have gotten back the snakes he'd traded in for the fish, but Carl figured that the indigo snakes were worth about the same amount of money as the ones he'd traded in, so he went up to that wooden crate, which had trap doors on either side of it. He pressed a latch to open it. He looked inside. They looked like indigo snakes.
Yeah, until they flare their little necks out.
The one thing he did not do was reach in and pick up one of those snakes. He says that would have been his usual MO, pick up the snake, have a look at it, but for whatever reason, he didn't that day.
He knew it was a cobra, right?
That's what I think.
Yeah.
But I also think he's 14, and this man is keeping these things out back where anyone can come get them. This is on the owner of the store, in my opinion. But yeah, I absolutely believe this kid knew what he was looking at.
Yeah, well, and you can tell what snake is venomous and which is not by the shape of their head.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably saw the shape of the head and was like, oh, this is a deadly snake. And
yeah,
said, I'm not touching this thing.
Looking back, he said, I don't know why I didn't mess with them. It sure wasn't because I knew they were cobras. If I'd known what they were in the first place, or if one had raised up out of that box and made a hood, I would have slammed down that lid tight. I had no idea. And so, since he had no idea that they were cobras, he left the trapdoor open, and he got on his bike, and he rode away. He said that it wasn't until all those reports came out about cobras showing up around the Moore Animal Company that he realized what he'd done. He said he panicked. He was scared to death. Those cobras were all anyone in Springfield could talk about. He was terrified that someone would be bitten by one of the cobras. And he was also terrified that he'd be found out and sent to jail. But he was never found out.
No, I mean, how do you even, you could never trace it to him. Unless they dusted that cage for fingerprints or something.
I think you could.
How would you catch him? Unless he confessed.
It would require Rio being honest and saying, yeah, I had
kid came in, he was pissed, I had cobras.
Well, hold on. First he says, yes, I am missing cobras. Because that was the truth. He'd been lying this whole time about, no, missing cobras here.
Yeah, because no. Originally he was like, I don't sell cobras, right?
No, he said he sold cobras.
Yeah.
But he said he didn't have any missing.
Ah.
Carl came and let them out right. of the wooden crate. So Rio, the adult, who kept deadly cobras out back where anyone could access them, mm-hmm. and then lied to everyone and said, oh, no, I'm not missing any of them.
Yeah.
This is on him.
Yeah, yeah, true. But
yeah, I think
the kid also opened the
sure,
crate and let
sure,
them out.
Sure.
I think it's a little on him, too.
Well, it is a little on him, but he is a kid, and this is completely foreseeable, I think.
I mean, you shouldn't keep the cobras out back in
no,
a crate.
No, you shouldn't. You know why? Because literally anyone can come up and open the box. Literally anyone.
The customer is always right, folks. You don't want this happening.
So he had this terrible secret, and he kept it for years. He grew up, stayed in the area. He dabbled in the trades. He became a mechanic, a welder, a concrete finisher. But that cobra scare always weighed on him. And it wasn't until 30 years later that he finally confided in a friend. And it was that friend who convinced him to come forward. Coming forward was a weird thing for Carl. He'd been so tight-lipped about it for so long. He told the reporter, my mom is going to find out about what I did by reading about it in the paper.
He's going to get a spanking.
Get over here, Carl! But people still had questions for Carl. Questions like, okay, dude, we found 11 of them. How many snakes did you actually release that day? Carl didn't have an exact figure.
Yeah, how would you know?
Okay, he remembered that the crate had two trapdoors, which to him indicated that it was divided in half. And when he'd looked inside, he estimated that there were probably 25 or 30 snakes in that crate.
Oh, shit.
So hopefully, a maximum of 15 cobras slithered all over Springfield. 11 were captured and talked about publicly. But hopefully, Rio silently captured the rest.
Yeah, or just random residents killed them and just never reported it.
Maybe, but there were reports of Rio as he's saying, oh no, I haven't had any cobras loose. He's also running all around the place.
He's running around the
town. Clearly looking for snakes.
With a hoe.
Yeah, clearly. After the story was published, Carl was relieved by the reaction. He was afraid that people were going to hate him. But people seemed to just get a laugh out of it.
Well, luckily no one was hurt.
Exactly.
Yeah. If someone had been seriously injured or died, there would have been a problem.
Carl passed away in 2009, hopefully with a clear conscience.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like I'm being too nice to this guy.
No, not at all.
I think this is 100% on the business owner. Well, 90% on the business
owner. Let's go 90-10.
Okay.
Or maybe 80-20. Mm. My percentage might be a little different than yours.
These days, the story is a celebrated, quirky part of Springfield history. But one thing that everyone wishes that they could figure out is, whatever happened to all those dead cobras?
People wonder what happened to the dead cobras?
Yeah, because we know that they were saved. At least some of them were. So two were taxidermied and stuffed. One was displayed at City Hall for a while. But for some reason, it got a lot of wear and tear. And now it's nowhere to be found.
People petting the snake?
I don't know what they were doing to that snake.
Ooh.
But now, we can't find either of them. It's believed that a science teacher at Jarrett Junior High School, Herbert Condre, preserved at least six of the cobras in jars of isopropanol. I think that's how you say it.
Isopropyl alcohol?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was given to Central High School, but it disappeared.
Damn.
There were rumors that the Dickerson Park Zoo might have one. If that's true, she's gone. Maybe Jarrett Junior High School. If that's true, she's gone. Maybe the Springfield Art Museum. If that's true, she's also gone.
Damn, where are all these snakes going?
At one point, someone came forward and they were like, I know where the jars of cobras are! They are tucked into the attic of Herbert Condre's former home. So this was a huge thing. The new homeowner was like, oh my God, dead snakes in my attic? Hell no, let's take a look. So they were up for it. A reporter, a photographer, and a next-door neighbor all went up into that attic, ready to find him. Where are the snakes? And they found...
Nothing. Yep.
So, the location of the cobras is a mystery. A mystery for all but one of those 11 cobras. And that's because in 1980, a former sheriff donated his cobra in a jar to Drury University. And it remains on display at Drury University in Springfield. No one's sure which of the 11 cobras this one is in the jar.
Uh-huh.
Was it the one that was shot 5 times? Was it the one that was run over by a car 11 billion times?
That was flattened like a pancake?
One thing is sure, it has a bullet wound below its hood. And if it could speak, it would probably say... And that's the story of the Great Cobra Scare of 1953.
Great job, Kristen. I'm glad you got through that story.
You know, it's kind of fun, but I also kind of really hated it, too.
That was a great story. Never heard that.
I love a story where nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, it's fun. Uh-huh. Old-timey.
Uh-huh. Stupid as hell.
Stupid. Blaring music.
Oh, my gosh.
They should have blared Linkin Park. I cannot take this anymore.
And the snakes are like, yeah, finally yeah, someone dude. Gets me.
Gets me. Can you look at the snake at Drury University?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've got it on display in some lobby somewhere. I can't remember.
So, plaque alert?
Yes. Yes, a plaque alert. It's kind of cool. So the local high school, they did a musical about this a couple years ago.
Yeah, I love the lore around it. Like, it becomes legendary in the town, and, like, the town celebrates it. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and there's a local brewery. They did, they have, like, some kind of sour ale that they named the Cobra Scare or something like that. It's kind of cool. They embrace it now.
That's cool. We should go to Springfield. Check it out.
Springfield. It's a hell of a town.
Schoolyard's up, the shopping mall's down.
It's a good song.
Wow, what an exciting episode, Kristen.
I was really grossed out by it.
Not only did you talk about your greatest fear, snakes, we also had Dr. Hubert Montgomery make a surprise appearance.
I'm just so disappointed that you couldn't be in the same room with him at the same time, yet again.
Well, you know, when you gotta use the bathroom, you gotta use the bathroom.
How are you doing, by the way?
Honestly, I was so excited.
Uh-huh.
It just, my bowels released when I answered the door. I was like, she's upstairs. I gotta go.
How embarrassing for you, Norman. Mm. I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you all for listening, by the way.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of us starting this podcast, and it's kind of exciting. We dropped the episode with my dad on it.
Ah, yes.
My God, y'all loved being DP'd, you bunch of hoes.
Well, we don't call them history hoes for nothing. I'll tell you that.
No, it was very sweet to see all the nice comments about people enjoying my dad. That was a weird thing to say. Oh, God. I did want to read one comment from Patreon. Hold, please, while I grab my phone.
Okay.
You know, I could have had this pulled up. Did I? No. No, I did not.
Hey, we do a lot of improv on this show.
Oh, yeah. I'm improving this whole script. Uh-oh. Making it up. Whole cloth. Okay. I have to share this comment. It's on Patreon, on the episode we dropped with my dad. Only because when I watched the video version, I kept noticing myself doing this, and I kept waiting for other people to comment because I thought it was so obvious and so weird that I was doing it.
What were you doing?
Oh, before I read you this comment, did you notice anything about me in that video?
Were you side-eyeing me a lot? I remember we were glancing at each other a lot during that recording.
True. The name of this person is Most Beautiful Woman in Elizabeth City.
Oh.
She writes... Pig Butter Investor is worth it just to see Kristen sit in a fully defensive posture for 2 hours straight while listening to her father, likely praying he doesn't say something too offensive, LOL. I can relate.
You were kind of leaned back with your arms folded.
I was squeezing my hands and like fully ready for him to say something awful. And like his whole story where he was duping us the whole time, I was like, what the fuck is happening in this story? The sequence is just, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens. I was waiting for someone to get murdered. Yeah. And then, yeah, anyway, if you haven't listened to that episode and you're needing a charming old white guy in your life, go listen to that episode, won't
you? Yeah, you're trying to get DP'd this weekend? Pull it up.
It won't even hurt. But yeah, thank you. Thank you to everyone for supporting this kind of still new, sexy, independent podcast.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Well, Kristen, should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
Kristen, you know what they say about history hoes. We always cite our sources.
That's right. For this episode, I got my information from many years worth of reporting by Mike O'Brien for the Springfield News Leader, reporting by Greta Cross for the Springfield News Leader, as well as reporting from Ozarks Alive, Ozarks Watch Video Magazine, and more.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for listening to an old-timey podcast.
Please give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're at it, subscribe. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast. Join the Reddit community, r/oldtimeypodcast. Follow us on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram at oldtimeypodcast. And you can also follow us individually on Instagram. I'm at Kristen Pitts Caruso, and he's at Gaming Historian. And until next time, toodaloo, ta-ta, and cheerio!
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.